If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at actually three passages of Scripture today in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Of course, this is a very familiar parable to you, the parable of the sower. And we're going to look at this today. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, I will read the odd verses, as is my custom. And you get to read the even verses because you're such a nice, even group of people. And you can take the converse and apply it to me. All right? As odd. So, beginning in verse 1, I will start and you will join me on verse 2 in the book of Matthew and chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. As it is said in verse 3, in our text that we read this morning together, it says, And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And that's simply the title of the message today, A Sower Went Forth to Sow. What else would you expect a sower to do? than to sow, right? You know, Jesus is speaking here to this crowd of people, and as the Bible tells us, it was a multitude of people, and he got into a little ship there, a little boat, and cast out from the shore a ways, and the people gathered there on the shore of the place where they were, and you understand that he was wanting to communicate something with them. And a sower went forth to sow. You know, as we read this parable and we see what Jesus said in verses 4 through 9, he talks about this story, right? And you say, what really is a parable? Well, by definition, a parable is a fable or allegorical relation or representation of something real in life or in nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. So this parable is for instruction. It's relating the relationship of something natural, something in nature. A sower went forth to sow. That was something that these people understood. It was something that maybe many of them had experienced. I personally come from a heritage of farmers, both on my mother's side and my father's side. Both of my grandpas were farmers. And my dad was, I remember him telling me of times where when he was 5 years old and his older brother was, I think, 8 or 9 years old, was the first time that he drove a tractor by himself. My uncle, my dad's older brother, went out and started the tractor, and he put my dad, who was 5 years old, on the tractor and said, drive it around this field back and forth until you get to the end. When you get to the end, turn it off and walk back to the house. Okay? And that was farming back in the early 60s, okay, in our country. I remember helping my grandparents out at the farm. My mom's dad was a custom combiner. He would go around the country, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, and combine fields for a percentage of the proceeds of the crops and stuff. So farming, I understand farming. I like gardening. Gardening is enjoyable. I don't know if any of you get to do that. You take a little seed and you put it in the ground, right? And such and so forth. And so these people knew what this was about. It was a common story or a common thing found in nature, but it was designed to draw a moral conclusion for instruction. And so a sower went forth to sow. You see, that is the purpose of a sower, is to sow. You know who was among this group of people that were there on the shore while Jesus was teaching? A bunch of sowers. There were some sowers there. And this is for instruction, right? And remember the disciples, they said, why do you teach them in parables? In verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He said, and in verse 9, we see that he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And these disciples were there. They had received Christ. They had already trusted that he was the Messiah and that he had come to provide salvation for them. He said, hey, if you have ears to hear, hear. You all are given to understand these things. You need to understand them. And you are the sowers that are going forth to sow. You know what a sower is supposed to do? Sow the seed. That's what a sower doesn't carry around a sack of seed just to carry around a sack of seed. Right? He's not carrying around the sack of seed to eat the seed. Although you probably could, right? Okay? This may sound strange to you, but growing up, my father taught us to eat the whole apple. So we'd wash an apple and just start eating the apple. And, you know, when you got to the, all that you had left was the stem. Just discard the stem. Okay? I guess you could eat that too, I suppose, if you really wanted to. But, you know, he said the seeds too? Well, sure. There's, you know, some good stuff in there. And, you know, you understand? So, that, you know, if you had wheat or barley, I like a good beef and barley soup. That's nice, you know, hearty, got some good content to it there. You can eat barley, right? Wheat, everybody, except for the gluten-free people, okay? You understand? Is salad gluten-free, by the way? Yeah, I don't know. I suppose, maybe it's not pasta salad, right? But, you know, so you have all these things, and he could have eaten the seed, right? But is that what a sower is supposed to do? He's supposed to eat the seed, right? Is he supposed to sell the seed? That's what he's supposed to do, right? A sower is meant and purposed to sell the seed. No. What's he supposed to do with it? Sow it. That's what he's supposed to do. A sower went forth to sow. A sower is supposed to sow the seed. You know, remember that in our previous encounters, Jesus rebuked the disciples for not properly sowing the seed as sowers. They were not always on top of their game as far as what they were supposed to accomplish. Remember, Jesus said, hey, I am sent here to do the work of my Father and to finish his work. We're supposed to get this done, and you guys aren't participating. A sower went forth to sow. That's what sowers do. And he says, guys, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go and sow the seed. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let me ask you a question. If you don't sow the seed, will you reap a harvest? No. The seed has to be put into the ground. It needs to be sown. It has to be placed wherever it's supposed to be placed so that it can grow. In our text, in verses 3 through 8, we see this story of the sower sowing the seed. The action is being accomplished. He is sowing the seed. In verse 4, it says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. You understand that the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. Was this necessarily at the very beginning here about the ground? Or about the seed? Not necessarily. Now, in completion, we're going to talk about both of those elements besides. But the main emphasis, the thrust in the beginning statement, a sower went forth to sow. There was an accomplishment of a task. There was an action required to have this story take place. Because if the seed doesn't get into the ground, none of the rest of this matters. We can't talk about the seed that came up or did not come up or was taken away or was scorched or was productive. We can't talk about that until the sower sows the seed. It has to be sown. We have a promise in the Bible that we read in Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. We understand that this is a principle. But the sowing has to take place. If you'll think about it, a seed was planted in you. Someone, somewhere, somehow, sowed the seed in your life. Somehow. Maybe it sprang up. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it took a while. But doubtless of all those things, the seed was sown. And that's what's critical about this parable. We understand in Matthew chapter 28, in verses 16 through 20, we call this the Great Commission. But the Bible tells us that when the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what that is? Sowing. That's sowing. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A sower is to sow the seed. We need to teach all nations. We need to preach the gospel to every creature. In Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We are to sow the seed of the Word of God. What happens to that seed is not our concern. We need to sow the seed. Some of the seed will do what it's supposed to do. We have this is in the story. Some of the seed will not do what it's supposed to do for different circumstances. But the sower is not so much concerned with the circumstances as he is with sowing the seed. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 5 through 9, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now the he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You see, it doesn't matter who plants the seed. The seed needs to be sown. It needs to be planted. Hey, listen, when you grab a handful of those gospel tracts and go put them out everywhere, you say, well, I'm not going to put one here because it'll probably just get thrown away. That's not your concern. Put it out there. Give it to somebody. You say, well, I knocked on this door and the person came to the door and they didn't really look like they were interested. So I just decided to save a track and not give them a track. No, give them a track. How do you know what that seed's going to do? And let me ask you a question. How do you know what kind of ground you're putting that seed in? Do you know what's in their heart? Listen, I remember Dr. Lassiter telling us a story, and he came to this door out soul winning one time, and this really rough, tough, tattooed, muscular, bulging, bald-headed, gruff-looking, mean-looking man came to the door. What do you want? How many of you would be intimidated by that? Okay, thank you. Hi. Oh, don't even bother, Brother Combs, because he won't receive the gospel. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the resources of a gospel tract because they won't receive. How do you know? You're just a sower. What you're supposed to do is sow the seed. You don't get to determine what ground is good and what ground is not. You're just supposed to throw the seed out there. Just throw the seed. Sow the seed. We're not judging whether or not somebody's... You'd be surprised. And to Brother Lassiter's surprise, that man broke down like a little baby and wept his way to Jesus Christ, if you will. Amen. Rough, tough, gruff man. But you don't know what kind of ground is behind that shell. You have no idea. Just sow the seed. A sower is supposed to sow the seed. We're supposed to labor. It is God who gives the increase. It is God the one who allows the change in the life of a human being, not us. We're just supposed to sow the seed. In John chapter 4, remember I told you a little bit about this before, the woman in Samaria, when he said, I must needs go through Samaria, the disciples were supposed to be working with him, sowing the seed. And in this particular instance, he rebukes them because they were not sowing the seed like they were supposed to. Remember in verses 34 through 38, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You understand that the disciples were not accomplishing that which they were supposed to accomplish. But the point is we need to learn that we as sowers just need to sow the seed. Preach the gospel to every creature. Give a gospel tract to everyone you encounter, whether they seem like they're interested or not. Think about this. You give out a gospel tract to someone, and they're not interested. And they take that gospel tract, and they discard it somewhere. Someone else that is interested can come and pick up that tract and be saved. Yeah, y'all ever have any voluntary plants growing up in your yard? Because a bird came and ate the seed over here or this fruit over here and deposited it over here? Huh? Yeah. That happens in nature, doesn't it? What's important? For the seed to get out. For the seed to get out. We need to sow the seed. In the passage of Scripture, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus puts it this way. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, they were come to him out of every city. And he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The sower is to sow his seed. He's to go out and sow the seed. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 19. So I think we kind of quickly understood the principle. What is the purpose of the sower? To sow. Okay? To sow the seed. To put the seed out. That is the sower's purpose. What seed? What is the seed? What is it that we're supposed to be spreading out? Is it wheat? Is it barley? Is it sunflowers? Are we sowing watermelons or cantaloupe or maybe it could be like Johnny Appleseed and go across the country planting apple trees. Okay, what are we doing? What seed is to be sown? Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 13. He says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So what is the word? What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus said this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God. You know what God says about his word? It shall not return void. He says we're supposed to get the word of God out to every creature. We're supposed to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, he said in Matthew chapters 28. We understand that the word of God is the seed that needs to get to the ground of the hearts of mankind. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter if they're going to receive it. It doesn't matter if they're interested. We still need to get the seed out into this world. It needs to be given out. The word of God needs to get out into our world. Why do you suppose that God has preserved and allowed us to have the word of God? Just for us to keep it all to our little lonesome selves? Shouldn't do that. Right? This is mine. My seed. I'm keeping it for me. Is that the job of the sower? No. The sower has the bag of seed. What is he supposed to do with that seed? Disperse it. Give it out. Hey, listen, is the word of God for our benefit? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. But are we just supposed to keep it to ourselves and not share it with anyone? That's not a Bible principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know what I tell people? The best way to teach some or to learn something yourself is to teach it to somebody else. You know the best way to hang on to Scripture? Share it with somebody else. Yeah. You say, that doesn't make any sense according to human logic. I understand. It doesn't have to make sense according to human logic. It needs to make sense according to what God's principles are. Hey, in God's principles, if you really want to keep something, you give it away. Oh. You say, that's backwards. I know. Isn't it great? You mean, if I want to hang on to my material possessions, I should give them away? Yes. Hey, can I tell you something? We have almost decided that we're not giving anything away to anybody else ever again. Almost. Because we've received way too much in return. So how do we stop this insanity? Just stop giving it. I'm just kidding, by the way. But you know what? We have learned and been taught to be generous, and we're going to continue to do so. But according to God's principles, more has come our way than we've given. It's because of God and what He does in our lives. You understand that the seed is the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in your Bibles. I will let you participate in flipping your pages. But make sure you do it quickly because we do not have time to waste. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed that is to be sown into our world. We've got to take the seed of the Word of God, and as sowers, we've got to sow the seed. We need to put it where it needs to be put. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We're supposed to preach the word. And really, he didn't say when they do this to stop preaching. He said there's a time that's going to come where they're not going to listen. But that doesn't mean that we stop sowing the seed. Hey, how many times do people say, well, I don't want to hear about that old book, that word of God, the Bible. I don't want to hear from that. But we're still supposed to tell them. We're still supposed to give out the seed of the word of God to them. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible tells us, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They were good sowers, this Paul and Barnabas team. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The seed of the word of God was spread. And sometimes, in this case, it was spread because it was rejected by the first group it was given to. Aren't you glad? Most of us in here are Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Hey, the seed of the Word of God was spread and published and given out like sowers are supposed to give out the seed. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is the seed. And can I tell you something? God loves his word. And he wants us to take the word as sowers and sow the word of God into our world. How many of you have an opportunity to take care of a lawn of some type, right? Anybody ever see those little things? I call them sticker grass. You can call them whatever you want to. They're sand burrs, I believe they're called, technically. Speaking, right? The grass, it grows like flat, like a crab. You know what I'm talking about? And it shoots up these little stalks that have these little sharp pointy things that stick to everything on them. All right, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? You know what those things do? They take over a yard and they're miserable because they get into everything. And they hurt. I mean, you barely touch them and the darn thing's like a magnet. You go, stuck to your finger. Those are seeds. You know what those things do? They fall to the ground, and sometimes they stay there for years, dormant, until everything is just right. And then what happens? They pop up. When the soil is right, the temperature's right, the water's right, when everything's right, that seed just stays there dormant until it's time for it to whatever it's called. Germinate. That's the word. I knew it was there. Until it germinates. Hey, how do you know how long it's going to take for someone to really understand and come to the knowledge of Christ after hearing the word of God? Do you know? It's going to maybe sometimes lay there dormant until everything is just right. But is that a concern to you, the sower? How long the seed stays there? How long it takes for that seed to germinate in the life of that person? Is that your concern? Say, well, you know what? I'm just not going to sow the seed because, you know, the temperature is not right and this is not right. And so I'm going to wait to sow the seed until everything is just perfect. And then I'll sow the seed. Is that your determination? I don't think so. We're just sowers. We're supposed to sow the seed, and a seed is the word of God. Well, to finish, look at verse 19 back in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now, I say finish for today, because this message kind of turned into more than I thought at the onset. So you're going to hear more about this later, I suppose. Now listen, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So far we've talked about the sower. A sower went forth to sow. What is the sower supposed to do? He's supposed to do an action. He's supposed to accomplish a task. What is he sowing? The seed of the word of God. And where is he putting it? In the trash can? No. Underwater? No. He's throwing it in the air and letting it fall, sprinkle down, right? No, he's not doing any of those things. He's not putting it in clay pots. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. What is he doing with the seed? Putting it in the ground. Putting it in the ground. The sower is to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God, and the ground is the heart of mankind. That's what it is. The heart of mankind. We're supposed to get the seed into the heart of mankind. Did you hear what he said? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. We need to get the seed of the word of God as sowers into the heart of mankind. In Mark chapter 4, the same sister passage, if you will, but written slightly different perspective, says, "And he that began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that ears to hear, let him hear." You understand that in verse 15 of this same chapter, he defines the hearts of man as the ground. "And these are by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." It's the ground that we're supposed to sow the seed of the word of God in. The hearts of mankind. You understand that when we sow the seed has an opportunity to work the way it's supposed to work in the ground that it's sown in. Did you notice that in this parable, the sower did not necessarily choose
whether or not the ground was ready or proper for the growing of the seed. He was just supposed to get the seed into the ground. Like I said at the beginning, we are not the judge of whether or not someone is ready to hear the word of God or receive the word of God. We're just supposed to sow the seed. You understand that the seed of the word of God is going to do the work that it's supposed to do in the ground. But we have to get it there. We are to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We are not to decide who is worthy of the seed or who is not worthy of the seed. We're just supposed to sow the seed. We need to do our part, folks. We need to get out there and do what he said at the onset. A sower went forth to sow. This year, we are endeavoring as a church family to each one reach one this year. How are we doing as sowers of the seed? Now, this particular message, if I showed this to you, I still have a whole nother several points to develop. So that's going to become part two of this message. But if we just focus on part one, that we are sowers, commanded to go forth to sow. We have a purpose. We have an intent. That seed that we are sowing is the word of God. And where we're sowing it is in the hearts of mankind. Once again, it's not up to us to determine the where, when, why, and how, but rather just to do. To let the seed of the word of God and let the God who is in control of the harvest, it is his harvest, we're just supposed to plant. And some are to water. And some are to harvest. But it's God that gives the increase. He's the one that determines these other things. And listen, there is much more to talk about as far as we get into the different types of ground that the seed is sown into. But it's the heart of man. That's where we're supposed to sow the seed. You know what? This week, maybe you haven't been the sower that you need to be. And you need to determine to be a good sower. Maybe you haven't been sowing the right things. Maybe you've been sowing your own philosophy or your own ideas or such and so forth instead of the word of God. We need to focus on making sure we sow the right seed. We sow the seed out there that God wants us to sow. The seed is the word of God. And where are we sowing it? Where are we putting the seed? Are we putting it in the hearts of men? Or are we putting it other places that it ought not go? You understand, doors don't get saved. People do. Right? Hey, look, I'm for knocking on doors, but doors don't get saved. People get saved. We need to get this seed into the hands of people, into the hearts of mankind. Hey, how many of you go through a whole day and not talk to a single human being? Okay? Probably not. All right? Maybe it's a little more easy. That's bad grammar, Brother Combs. Don't do that. Maybe it's easier during this time of COVID not to talk to a single human being. But listen, do telemarketers call you? You say, oh, I'm not going to sow the seed to them. Why not? They called you. The worst thing they can do is hang up. Right? Actually, that's the best thing it could do is hang up. Sow the seed in the hearts of mankind.